I'm excited for what God is sharing with us this morning, because it's going to be one of those incredible kingdom keys that just unlocks so much. So yeah, so let's begin and let's pray quickly. Yeah, Father, this morning as we as a family come again and to hear what's on your heart, but not only to hear, I want to thank you for grace, your grace that enable us to be able to understand, to be able to respond, to be able to receive, and to be able to see the effect, your actions taking place in our day-to-day lives and in our communities and in our nation. So thank you, Father, for your good news to us. I think we in your way, you're starting to expand what good news is all about and opening it up for us. And we want to thank you, Father, that as Peter writes, they add to your faith knowledge. And we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit in us that's imparting your knowledge, it's imparting your understanding, it's imparting wisdom, counsel, for us to be able to live more in this abundant life, to live in the expression, the reality of this abundant life that we have because of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you as in your gracious way you are just helping us to be set free from stuff that has held us back, and how you are opening up what life's all about and how we can live in this abundant life through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life that's operating, it's working within us, empowering us to be able to live in the reality of eternity, in the reality of this eternal life, in the reality of your life. And so, yeah, we are, Father, just to love you, just to listen to you, to respond to you, and to say your will be done, Father. And this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think let me just quickly go back to scripture over here, just to get the context. We're looking at Romans chapter 1 and quite a lot in Romans. And Paul, he starts off as we've been speaking about to proclaim the gospel of God. And this gospel that he had promised beforehand through the prophets. And so if we go through the Old Testament, you will see in all of that there, this gospel is in there. And the prophets were proclaiming that to humanity. And it was in a promise form. And the time came when the time had fully come. You know, that scripture there, God sent his Son and Christ was born. And so there's the fulfillment of that promise. And so in his Son, Jesus Christ, that's the good news. So Christ is God's good news to mankind. And so that's what we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks. And then he speaks about over here that, remember Paul says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And we've been looking at the way God imputes righteousness to us. We've been looking at the reality of this God faith, this pure God faith, hearing him and then responding. That's the belief part there, believing what he's saying. And just that purity of that, nothing more, nothing less, is what Abraham is the example of, that simple faith that we've been looking at over there. And one of the things that you will find, it may be real to you now, it may be not yet, but this will happen, is that as God shares with us more and more what his good news is all about, and we are receiving that by faith, it comes a time when you become very aware that you're actually walking in your God-given purpose. There's no maybes, there's no doubt. There's just this reality, and there's this, remember we spoke about faith being the substance, this foundation, and that becomes the reality of one's life. You're actually, just as Abram walked into the inheritance and he walks through the land, that tremendous confidence that we are walking, we are living in the reality of what God has promised. And that will become more and more tangible in one's life. It is a place where, it is so sure, it is so solid, because in what I'm sharing this morning, you will know how grace works. You will know how grace reigns in one's life. And that is why this is such an important part that God is sharing with us now, to really understand how the grace upon grace operates, and how to live in the grace upon grace, how to live in the abundant grace, how to live in the reality of grace. So it's not just the grace that comes when we hear God and we're able to respond, but it's now moving into that grace, but experiencing the grace upon grace. Okay. And this is the place that brings everything now into such reality. It starts to become very real in one's life. So whatever God has promised, how he's spoken, it's no longer just out there. It's inside you. It's, you're living in it. You're walking in it. You know that you're walking in the outworking of the promise. And that's your life now. And it's a beautiful place. And so some you may be there. Some you may have been there some time back already, but some are still going to go in there. But that's why it's part of the good news of God. Part of the good news is this grace. Part of this good news is his faith for us. Part of the good news is the salvation and what salvation really means. And you and I walking in the fulfillment of that, because our purpose in life is contained in his definition of salvation, his good news. A reason is all in that aspect of his good news for you and I, for mankind. And that's why to try and find the will of God outside the revelation of the good news of God, it's very, very difficult. And that's why we're learning now how central is the gospel, how central is the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, how central for us is the reality of the good news that is his son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what's happening, and that's what you'll experience as you walk with God, as you simply receive and you believe and you meditate and just allow the Holy Spirit inside of you to give you understanding, revelation, and all of this. Everything becomes very, very real. And as this happens, particularly when the understanding how grace upon grace works, you'll realize that you're not going to fail. Okay. You will realize, wow, God, you are for us. Who can be against us? And that's the confidence. That's the assurance that comes with all of us. And that's why it is such good news for us. God's good news is truly good news. Okay. And we're going to learn more and more in that. And so last week, just to catch up, and then before we carry on a little bit this morning on the grace aspect, remember we're looking at Abraham, and we were looking there in Romans chapter 4, what shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh discovered in this matter, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then he carries on. Now, to one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. So the word gift is important to understand in the context of grace. The word gift is important to understand in the context of this God righteousness that we receive. The word gift is important to understand in the context of faith. And so these words that you see in scripture, each word plays a vital role in understanding how to receive grace upon grace and how to live in the reality of grace upon grace, the abundant grace. Okay. And so here we go on, and we see here in verse 4, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is imputed as righteousness. Very deep concept this. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And so we've been looking at Abraham as our example, and we see here that God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed God. He received what God said. Remember, faith is God's persuasion. He knew as God is speaking, despite his age, despite the circumstances, he believed what God was saying is the absolute truth. And as he believed, as he received that persuasion, he took in and he believed what God was actually saying, what took place there. All that was on the mind of God concerning not only Abraham, but concerning the whole unfolding of the incredible gospel, the good news that is found in Christ Jesus. All of that was now imparted to Abraham. It was credited to Abraham. And so remember, as we looked at impute, to think of as belonging to someone, and therefore to cause it to belong to that person. So God thinks of Abraham over here as he believed. God thinks, Abraham, you are now, because you believe what I'm saying, you are in a right standing with me. Your position has changed. You are in a right standing with me. We can relate face to face. We can relate as friends now. You're in a right standing with me because you believed. And the faith was the reality of transferring, of making that transaction from what was on the mind of God to actually belonging to Abraham. And so that is what we've been looking at over there. And that's how the promises of God works. That the promises that God has spoken, and you knew when God spoke, that you just absolutely knew this is absolute truth. You were totally convinced that this is what God is saying is the absolute truth. And you simply received that and you believed that. The moment you believed that what God shared, his thoughts concerning your life, his thoughts about whatever he shared by the Holy Spirit, as you believed that now became your reality. It was credited to you. It belongs to you. So now you are able to walk in that. And that's why the faith and the way grace works is so important to understand how to walk in the unfolding and the fulfillment of the promises that God has given to you and I. And so when we look there at chapter 5, when we were looking there at Adam and Christ, we saw how this began to operate when we were speaking about the original sin. But remember, let me just go back to a scripture in Isaiah 55, just to put a bit more context over here. God is speaking, and remember, this is one of those incredible scriptures that he shares to us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that's why it is such an incredible gift when by the Holy Spirit we can know the mind of Christ. We can know the things that are in the Father's heart, his thoughts that are higher. And so the whole understanding of imputation is God's thoughts that is higher than our thoughts, that's beyond the way we think, and that becomes already, that's good news. It's beyond our news. It's beyond any other news. It is good news because God is so brilliant. God is so good. God is so awesome. And you and I can get God's thoughts for our lives, for our families, for our nation, for our community. We can get that, which is beyond man's plans for South Africa, which is beyond man's thoughts for the nation, which is beyond the criminal's thoughts and the thief's thoughts. It's beyond all of that. And as we get God's thoughts and we believe, simply believe God, that thoughts of God now belongs to you and I. And we start to walk. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's the transfer. That's the imputation of God in heaven. His thoughts now becomes a reality. We take hold of that. We believe God. It belongs to us. And now we're able to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God on the earth as we walk in faith and experience how grace reigns. How grace reigns. Okay. And that's what we're going to touch now. And so just to quickly go back a little bit more again, because I'm repeating myself quite a bit this morning, because this is so, so important to get this established within our hearts, and the way we think. So our thinking now, the renewal of our thinking, of our minds, is based on what God is sharing about what is salvation. Because through Christ, he's saving us from the consequences of the fall. He's saving us from the effects of the fall. And that's an incredible big picture, that we're starting to be able to receive and walk in that. So we also looked at in Romans chapter 2, let me just quickly go there to Romans 2 there, and this may help some folk. In Romans 2, where Paul is now sharing about the Jews and the Gentiles and about the reality of the sinfulness that is in humanity. And he goes on and he shares over there in verse 12, "All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law." So he's speaking here to the Jewish folk that had the written law as well as the law in their hearts. And he's also speaking to all the other nations that did not have the written law, because the law of God was written on their hearts, and their consciences played a big role. And so he's starting to share the reality of this. And that's why he says over there, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it's those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." And now we know there that no one could obey the law, so no one could be declared righteous. And so Abraham comes the example. He simply believed God, what God was saying, and by that faith, he was declared righteous. Okay? And so all the time, you've got this there, the way of Abraham versus the way of the heart, the law in the heart of man, and the written law that the Jews had. And that faith is the key. It's not the obedience to all that, because we cannot obey that because of the power of sin that's in humanity. And no matter what, because of that power of sin, people are going to disobey their conscience. They're going to disobey the law of God in their own hearts. They're going to violate their conscience, and they're going to also violate the written law that God gave to the Jewish nation. And that, and so there we go on, and he speaks about it. And as you read through 12 right there until 16, you will see over there that, that's what Paul is writing over there. And then we look there in chapter 3 quickly, and let me quickly go to chapter 3, where Paul, again, just summing up over there, and he says over there in verse 9, what shall we conclude? Do we have any advantage? He's speaking to the Jewish people. He says, not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jew and Gentile alike are all under the power of sin. And it is written, no one is righteous. Okay, bear with me, yeah? But then he comes to verse 20. And he says over there, "Or now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous by God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Now we're starting to move into the reality, the major difference that is taking place between the old covenant and the new covenant. Because although Abraham was justified and put in a right standing with God, the power of sin was still operating in his life. And so he would lie, he would produce an Ishmael, and all this taking place because it's a personal sin that's still very real. The power of sin is still very real. The fallen nature of Adam is still very real, because only in Christ is that taken away. We see that there, for instance, with David, a man after the heart of God, and in a right standing with God because he believed God. Faith was operating in David's life. We see that in Hebrews, by faith he conquered kingdoms, etc. And that, so Abraham was a man of faith. His faith was credited to him as righteous. Yet he committed adultery. You see, because the power of sin has not yet been broken. We see that with his son Solomon. All the incredible wisdom of God, all the understanding of the ways of God, yet because the power of sin was still operating in humanity, he was led astray and he started to worship other gods. That's the old covenant reality. God brings in the sacrificial system to be able to, in the mind of God, through the sacrificial system, to be able to bring them into a relationship so that God can still, and they can still have a relationship with God. But none of that could cleanse the conscience of man. And that's why we see this major difference in the old covenant and new covenant, because we see there in Hebrews chapter 9, for instance, that the blood and the sacrifices of bulls, etc., could never cleanse the conscience of humanity. Only the blood of Christ. Everything was an external cleansing. Nothing could do internally. Nothing could deal with the power of sin. Nothing can deal with the pollution of sin that in humanity. Only the blood of Jesus. And so when we start to look in, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, about the glory of the old covenant, the glory that there was there, then he goes on, but how much more glorious is the glory of the new covenant, where the Spirit gives life, where the law, the old covenant could not produce it. They could be put into a right standing by simply believing, as Abraham and David and all these examples of faith, but it never dealt with the real issues, could never deal with the conscience. It could never cleanse the conscience. It could not do that. Okay. You and I are the ones in a new covenant that in Christ now salvation not only delivers us from the original sin in Adam, but it also delivers us from that power of sin. God also delivers us through Christ the reality of personal sin, also delivers us from the reality of the pollution of sin, as we will call sanctification. It is such big news, such good news that we have in the new covenant. And that's why it is so much more glorious than the old covenant. Now, saying all of this, we need to now to move into Romans chapter 5. And we've been seeing over here that through the blood of Christ, we have been justified. Through the blood of Christ, God has declared us not guilty. We've been acquitted from the original sin of Adam. So that original sin of Adam, which leads to death, that no longer, for us who simply believe the gospel of God, now we've been set free from that. That doesn't belong to us. That's why we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we began this journey last Sunday in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people. And that's when we looked there that sin existed. Remember, Satan had already rebelled against God, and so lawlessness existed. And Satan said, how am I going to get this lawlessness into this incredible creation of God? I need to get this lawlessness so I can control, so that I can take over the stuff that God has created. I want to control mankind. I want to destroy everything. When God said it is good, I want to bring about the opposite to that over there. And so he tempts Eve. And as he tempts Eve, Eve speaks to Adam. Adam disobeys. So Adam breaks a commandment of God, not the law of Moses. This was the first commandment when God said, do not eat. So Abraham violates that. So that sin of disobedience of Adam is now imputed to you and I. In other words, that was God's thoughts. That's what's going to take place. And because he did that, that original sin belongs to all of humanity. That's why it carries on. Death came to all people because all sinned. And that's why I shared last week. That's why babies that have not even experienced personal sin yet, have no idea what personal sin is, they still die because that's the reality of the wages of Adam's sin. All die, all sin, all die. And that's the consequences of that. Okay. So now we carry on, and he says over here, but the gift is not like the trespass. Okay. Remember the word gift. It's not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more that God's grace and the gift that comes by the grace of the one man. So here again, the word, God's grace, God's gift, and the one man, Christ Jesus. Remember there in John chapter 1, where he speaks about Jesus coming, and he comes with truth and grace. He comes in the fullness so that man can experience the grace upon grace. Okay. Now we're starting to connect to that incredible truth of our Lord Jesus, because this everything is found in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the good news of our Father to mankind. So that by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. So as we looked there last time, in this reality over there, God thinks of Adam's sin as belonging to us, and it therefore belongs to us. And in justification, God thinks of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and therefore it belongs to us for all who believe. And that is what Paul is just emphasizing over here that we looked at last week. Now look at verse 16. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one man's sin and brought condemnation. That's the guilt, etc. All are guilty before God. But the gift followed many trespasses, followed all of our sins, the sins of humanity, and brought justification. So the gift of God brings humanity for those who believe, the acquittal from Adam's sin, from that original sin. Okay? It has a huge impact when it comes to personal sin as well. But now we're looking at the power of sin. We're looking at the reality of Adam's fall and how the power of sin has been in the human race ever since. Okay? Now we're coming on and we see over here verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned, death ruled, and so death is a demonstration of the authority and the rule of sin. Okay? So we see that word reigning coming into play over here. But, let's carry on. How much more, remember the new covenant? How much more glorious is the new covenant? How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through this one man, Jesus Christ? So here we see something profound, because this life is this eternal life. This life that we're speaking about is this, it's the fullness of the salvation that this good news of God is all about. This life is what you and I have entered into. Okay. And now we carry on. Let's just go slowly over here. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace? So there's a way of receiving God's grace upon grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And then he carries on about the whole reality, and then he comes down to verse 20. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes to chapter 6, and I'm just going to read the first verse over there. Therefore, so Paul is connecting what he's just said to the next statements and what he's going to be teaching from then onwards. So that last verse we spoke about this incredible grace that reigns, is crucial to understand Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, etc. So it's like that bridge that's crossing over into the application of this whole imputation of righteousness that we have received, Christ's righteousness that we have received. So we have by faith received the righteousness of God, and something takes place now. So he goes on, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's dealing with the power of sin, which will be coming more. But I'm sharing something back into chapter 5. Now, the question I want to ask, back to chapter 5 and verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How does grace reign in our lives? In other words, if we look at the word grace, we know the main reason, as we often hear, is this incredible undeserved favor, that despite our sinfulness, despite us being enemies of God, despite us living in lawlessness, despite all of that, God does something that man could not do. and God does something. Okay. So God gives himself. God gives his self, his son, Christ Jesus. God does something that man could not do. And it's all the initiative of God in his tremendous love, his mercy for mankind, the good news. Okay. That's taking place. So here we see there that the works of God, the actions of God, the thoughts of God, the everything about God, you and I are able to receive all of that. That's the good news of salvation. All of us are able to receive all of that. How? Let's carry on. So that just as sin reigned in this, so also grace might reign through righteousness. Now let's put it this way. I want you to see the good news, because I want you to see how much more glorious is this new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus, who is the mediator of this new covenant. How did we receive the righteousness of Christ? This is not our righteousness. Man's righteousness, sin reigned. Death reigned. Okay. Now we receive. God imputes Christ's righteousness upon us because we believed. Okay. How does grace, this abundant grace comes? This abundant grace comes through this gift of righteousness that you and I have received by faith. This takes away the striving. It takes away the pressure. It takes away all of the human efforts to live in the reality of the grace upon grace truth. Because God has imputed the righteousness of Christ upon our lives, that's the way the abundant grace works. It works through Christ's righteousness that you and I have received. Nothing more, nothing less. And by faith, we simply believe this. And because we just simply believe that God, all your actions that you have done through Jesus Christ, the whole centrality of the cross, everything about salvation that has come through Jesus Christ, everything, all your actions, all your works that you have done through your son, Jesus Christ, all of that becomes and belongs to us as believers because we believed when you spoke to us and you have imputed your son's righteousness. And through your son's righteousness, we receive grace that enables us to reign here in life. Please, guys, allow this to break open in your spirit. Meditate on this, because this opens up the reality of walking in your divine purpose that God has given to you. This opens up the reality of the actions of God operating in your life through the righteousness of Jesus that you simply believed. And now you are able to experience this power, the actions of Christ's death and resurrection, the actions of God. You and I can now experience and live in that reality. And that is what enables us to reign in life. This life is this eternal life. It's all that's in there in the message of salvation, this good news of what Christ has done in bringing us this eternal life. As a result of this, Paul then says, guys, because you simply believed, because you simply received the message about Christ Jesus, God imputed his son's righteousness upon you. And because of his righteousness that God has given to you, because of that, not of your works, just simply you believed, and that was a gift from me. You simply believed that what taken place, now this abundant grace now operates there in your life to enable you to be set free from the power of sin. It enables you to be set free from the control that personal sin has. Enables you to be set free from the pollution of sin. It enables you to be set free from all the consequences, so that now, just as Christ was raised from the dead to live unto God, you and I are able to live unto God, because there's this incredible works of God, the action of God, the doing of God that's continually operating in our lives, that's enabling us to reign in this incredible life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul, when he had that thorn in the flesh, and he cries out to God, and God says to you, Paul, guess what? You simply believed me, and you have the gift of righteousness, and your flesh is weak, your flesh is battling, but because you simply believed, and you have been given the gift of my son's righteousness, guess what, Paul? My abundant grace is operating in your life, so that my works of power is made known through your weaknesses. My glory, the glory, the more glory, the new covenant, the law of the spirit of life is made known through your life, Paul, because you simply believed in the incredible gospel of God. It's enough for you. You're going to be okay. You're going to be victorious. You're not going to fail, Paul. You're not going to quit. You're not going to deny me, because you simply believed. And my grace is operating through the gift that I gave you of righteousness through my son Jesus. And therefore that grace is reigning in your life. You're going to do it. You're going to finish the race. You're going to complete what I've called you to do. You're going to fulfill everything that I've told you to do, Paul. See, this is the reality of this. And so as we conclude, let's go back. The message of God was shared to you and I. As that message was being shared, the grace of God was working, drawing us to Christ Jesus, opening up our understanding. The faith of God, he was giving us the gift, his gift of faith, so that what we were hearing about Christ became extremely real to us. And we said, yes, we believe. The righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ, the obedience of Christ, everything about Jesus was now placed upon us. So that life of Christ belongs to you and I. No works, no striving, just pure, yes, Lord, I believe. And you responded to that. As you and I responded to that, now, as we continue walking in faith, what takes place? The abundant supernatural grace upon grace is flowing through that gift of righteousness. It's reigning through that gift of righteousness. Not what you and I are trying to do. It's only through Christ's righteousness that's a gift, but that's how this grace works. It's not going to bypass his son Jesus Christ. It's not going to bypass that gift of faith that is given to you and I to believe in his son and to receive this incredible grace of God operating in our lives. He's not going to bypass that. And so all the time now, we're getting back to the centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is why the more this becomes such a reality in our lives, the more we realize, when God spoke to me and he said to me, the answer for our nation is the centrality of Christ. Because it is through Christ Jesus that the abundant grace reigns. So as believers in South Africa, as believers in our communities, as believers in our families, as believers who simply believe what God is saying, and we just respond with that simple faith, you know that God's grace God's working, God's power, God's ability, everything is now operating through that gift of righteousness into your life, through your life, to bring about what God wants to do. That is why we can pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, this will be a key that will enable each and every one of us to be able to live in the outworking and the confidence of what God has promised you in your life. So whatever the calling is, whatever the promise is that God has made, that promise becomes a reality because you simply believed God and you have been given the righteousness of God. And so God brings about that reality, that grace, because you simply believe God. And that, so this gift of righteousness, sure, guys, just keep that in your spirit. Continue to meditate. Just give thanks to God. Let the gift of Christ's righteousness, the way God has imputed it to you and I, so his righteousness belongs to us. Let that become cemented. Let it become the way we think. Let it not become a work or just a fridge magnet, but let it be so real within us, because as it's real within us, you know that grace upon grace is operating in your life, so that in your weaknesses, in all the everything you're doing, you know that the grace upon grace is operating in your life to be able to bring about the fulfillment of what God has promised into your life. Guys, praise God for the gift of faith. May God help us to grasp this. In my own life, it's changed my life totally. And it's a good place to be when you're walking in, you know that you're walking in the reality of what God has promised. There's that assurance. There's that knowing that God is for you. Nothing can be against you. Knowing that the abundant grace is operating through my human weaknesses, through my inabilities, makes no difference. The acts of God, the works of God is working. And that's why he often chooses the weak and the foolish from the human perspective, so that we can get the understanding of the mind of God, the wisdom of God, and the imputation of that now belongs to you and I, and to walk in that. God is awesome. I love his brilliance. I love his ability to show, in a sense, show off. He is brilliant through us, through our lives as his body, as his family, to the wisdom of the world. Yeah, that is foolishness to God. And so you're part of that awesome journey with God. So let's have communion. Let's receive the gift of righteousness, knowing that the acts of God, the works of God, is operating in our lives to enable us to rule and reign on this earth. God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for an amazing gift that you've given to us, where with Adam, sin and death came, and all men were caught up in that. But then through your son, Jesus, full of truth and grace, so that the grace upon grace can be given to all mankind. Then your son, that's how this abundant grace works. And it's so awesome, Father, that you in your incredible brilliance have the good news of the gospel, which is so foolishness to man, but for us who believe, it is your power, salvation. And we want to thank you for the way you spoke to us, and we believed. And we want to thank you that at that moment, that which you spoke became ours. It belonged to us. But what you spoke and belonged to us, and we just received that. We want to thank you that because we have got the gift of righteousness, your son's righteousness belongs to us. Your grace reigns in our lives. And we receive today the reigning grace of yours for our day-to-day living. We thank you for your grace upon grace that just flows and flows in every step that we take, every day that we awake to and move into. We know because of only your son's righteousness that belongs to us, we know that your grace is operating in our lives. And today we acknowledge and we simply receive and believe how your grace works through this gift of righteousness that you've given to us. And we accept that and we believe that by faith. And as it is, the way that you think, it now belongs to us. So I want to thank you, Jesus, that because of your death, we have been saved from that original sin. Because of your death, Jesus, we now experience your life. But the joy is knowing that the work that you did on the cross, in your death and resurrection, all that you did in bringing about salvation, it now becomes our reality. And by your Holy Spirit, we thank you as you lead us, as you guide us more and more into outworking of the works of God through you, Jesus, that we receive simply by faith and experience the abundant grace, bringing it into our reality. So today, Father, in all of our lives, I'm asking that we may have been a bit wobbly in our unbelief. We may have been a bit concerned about these things where we have been striving so much to try and get your approval and all those things and trying to do your will in our own ability. I want to thank you today that you have spoken and we just believe and receive your grace, empowering us, enabling us. I want to thank you that the faith that you give us is not an intellectual thing, but it's a heart reality. It's life. It's relational. Knowing that you are very real. And out of that we respond. Out of that we walk. Out of that our life reflects the belief. It reflects the evidence of your grace operating in our lives. So thank you that we can live our lives demonstrating the abundant grace working through our lives because we just simply believe with the gift of faith you've given us. So Lord Jesus, we honor you as we celebrate your incredible death and resurrection as a family today. And Father, this we thank you because it's through this incredible good news of yours, your son Jesus, that we can truly know you, experience you, and we honor you for that. Amen. Amen.